This is Jay Sekulow, Republicans Save Obamacare.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we said it like we meant it, and that is the Republicans saved Obamacare. You could say whatever you want to say, but at the end of the day, that's what happened. The Republicans saved Obamacare. The vote was 45 to 55, and the repeal of Obamacare that every Republican voted for in 2015, the exact same language, failed in the United States Senate. Remember what we said early on, that this was when they first voted in 2015, they knew that President Obama was not going to sign that bill, obviously, on repeal, right? They knew it. So then it was easy to take a vote. And we said we called that a campaign vote, not a real vote. Unfortunately, we proved to be absolutely correct, and that's what happened. So what this has done, without question, has hurt the country because we're stuck with Obamacare. You know, President Obama, for all I know, is playing golf today celebrating this. Number two, I think it hurt the administration's ability because this was, look, this was legislation that was trying to be pushed. I don't think they're going to give up, obviously, but that's an issue. And I'll tell you who else was hurt, the American people. But the Republican brand was also hurt. They could not get it together when they were in the position to govern. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about something going on in Iran with the United States military. So we've got a lot of issues we're going to be dealing with. But on this Obamacare, they're talking about a skinny repeal. We'll get into that a little bit later in the broadcast. But this was a complete failure.
Oh, yeah. Republicans only got 43 votes for this. 45. I mean, just think about that, because seven Republicans.
45.
Well, seven Republicans defected. So it was 43 votes then. And Collins, Heller, McCain, Capito, Portman, Alexander, and Murkowski. So when you have that kind of defections of seven U.S. senators. Now, one of those we knew, Collins, was going to be a no. Interesting.
And she was consistently a no from the beginning.
Interesting. The rest, Heller, McCain, Capito, Portman, Alexander, and Murkowski, all voted yes in 2015 on this exact same language. I think that that needs to be clear to everybody. There are 52 Republicans, not 42 Republicans. So I don't know why you guys are fighting with me on the numbers. There's 50 Republicans, 52 Republicans, seven didn't vote for it.
It's 45-55.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just saying, the seven Republicans, was seven, just to be clear with everybody. And
we don't want to blame the entire Republican Party.
Well, actually, I do. this is all Mitch McConnell's fault. Why have John McCain go back to vote yes to the motion to proceed?
Then
John McCain, again,
no.
Votes no on this, had no history of voting no on this, never had even mentioned voting no on it. He votes no on it. He's really the only, and then Lamar Alexander from Tennessee,
which
adding him
expected
to the list.
That was out of nowhere.
The only one that flipped from that wavering category was Moran in Kansas.
And that was, again, a lot of people calling.
A lot of
that
people
helped.
Calling, but these others, these again, all hypocrites except for Susan Collins.
All right, so Than Bennett, Director of Governmental Affairs. Some governmental affair we have right now with this health care. What's the situation right now as you see it?
Well, it's really tough. I mean, Republicans were sent to Washington, D.C., primarily, Jay, to repeal Obamacare, and they failed to do that yesterday. Now, technically, there's still 9 hours of debate left, but look, I think you said it right. We've got to shoot our people straight here. The repeal of Obamacare failed, and I think at the end of the day, they will try to pass something that is very slimmed down and send it to conference. But, Jay, that is a very long shot. Yesterday, and Jordan said it right, the six Republicans who voted in 2015 and campaigned in 2015 to come to come to Washington and repeal Obamacare, they flip-flopped yesterday. And, Jay, yeah, they didn't get any help from Democrats, but you knew that from the beginning. This was on Republicans, and those six flip-floppers cost us the repeal of Obamacare.
All right, Logan, we're going to be phone lines are jammed already. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about where this goes.
I got nothing to say. Phone lines are jammed. 1-800-684-3110, because some people won't make it through. The process of getting on the show, you can also find us broadcasting online on ACLJ.org, Facebook, and Periscope. That's at Facebook.com/JaySekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Also on Twitter at Jay Sekulow, where you can watch us and comment and get your voice heard as well that way. Since phone lines are jammed, that's the easiest way. Get your comments in on social media. Log on over to all those outlets right now.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your calls and comments. Get those comments in. Logan will be looking at that. We'll take your calls from our radio audience. And don't forget our matching challenge, ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The headline at the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal: Obamacare's GOP preservers. And I think that's absolutely true. And now they're talking about a bare bones repeal gaining some steam. But look, the American people, I think we really, this was horrible. 7 years to do this, and they get their chance and they can't pull it off. You know, you can say whatever you want to say, but you know what? I say failure. I mean, that's a complete failure. And I think it's a failure on multiple levels here. And we've got to be aware that this was a failure. They're debating now. I'm watching this debate. It's almost ridiculous. Debating what? Now, we'll talk about that skinny repeal in the next segment. But I mean, no, really.
It's very quick. It's just the doing away with the individual mandate, the employer.
Which has been done away with by executive order.
Yeah, the employer. Right. It was already not being enforced. The employer mandate also done with executive order not being enforced. And then the medical device tax. I mean, these are individual mandates, a big deal, but not if you don't really disrupt all of Obamacare. Same with the employer mandate. Yep. I don't even know if it's good policy. If you still have got Obamacare on the books, then doing away with the individual mandate, which I want to do away with, I believe is wrong and unconstitutional. But I mean, if you do away with it right now, but you keep Obamacare having to work the way it does, I mean, you could have insurance costs potentially. I don't want to be using liberal talking points, but I could see how if everybody fled the system, which they can right now under the executive order anyways, you would just see costs continue to rise. So I think they're going to have a tough time, Than, selling that one to the American people. Yep. Will they have to get that scored by the CBO?
Yes, and honestly, Jordan, the estimates are that it would only save about $80 billion, and it has to save $133 billion to be eligible under reconciliation. So at this point, I don't even think that can pass. Yeah,
so it won't even be right, allowed. By the way. Yeah, a vote. So is that the last option here?
I think that's it.
Well, they have 9 hours of debate left, and theoretically, anybody could offer another amendment. But honestly, we don't even have that one, Jordan. So
well,
we don't even know
Graham,
for sure if they can agree on that.
The Cassidy bill they're talking about, which was basically keeps the ACA taxes in place, but it removes some of the regulations and then puts it back on the states. But is there any traction, Than, on that?
Not a whole lot. They can't get 50 on it. I mean, I'm holding up a list for our people to see. There are dozens and dozens of amendments pending to the bill right now. But Jay and Jordan, there's no indication that any of them can get 50. So.
Yeah, there you have it. I mean, at the end of the day, that's reality. By the way, for those watching on Facebook and Periscope, the new studios there look great. Lighting looks great. Everything looks great. All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls for our radio audience, and Logan will get some comments as well.
All right, let's go to Cindy actually first in Lafayette, Louisiana, with a question I think a lot of people have.
Hey, Cindy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Cindy, I think, is listening. Let's put her back on hold. Let's go to Dan, who's calling on line four in West Virginia.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jay. I just want to make two quick comments
sure.
and have one question.
Yep.
The first comment is that Mitch McConnell has been the worst Republican leader that I can ever remember. And the second comment would be to Shelley Moore Capito, who is my state senator. I'm voting to repeal her as my senator when she comes up for reelection. And then the question would be, are they even going to bring it up for another vote for repeal, or are they just going to sit on their thumbs and give up?
I think before the recess, that's not going to happen. This is from the Wall Street Journal editorial. The best outcome of Wednesday's repeal vote would have been to send the bill to a Republican president who's willing and even desperate to sign it, but at least voters have clarity about which GOP senators are willing to ratify President Obama's achievement. That is what we said at the beginning of this broadcast. It was seven Republicans that saved Obamacare. And so with the Wall Street Journal, I agree with their editorial on this. At least voters have clarity about which GOP senators were willing to ratify President Obama's achievement. Singular legislative achievement of President Obama was this. And seven Republican senators made that stay in place. So I don't see it being, I don't think a straight repeal's, Dan, there's no straight repeal coming up again, right?
Well, we took that vote yesterday. It
Done.
Failed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think.
So, what happens to those seven, Joe? I mean, politically here. Those seven, are they going to get challengers?
Well, only one is up for reelection in this next cycle. That's Heller. So, that's one of the issues with these senators is that they are so much more insulated than members of Congress. The question is, do voters remember two more years from 2018 to 2020 to 2022 and even 2024? I mean, Shelley Moore Capito, for instance, in West Virginia, as that caller said, is not up for reelection again until 2020. That's a presidential election year. So, the Senate elections really are on the coattails of whoever the major party candidate is. In her case, it would still be likely President Trump. So, again, will voters get involved enough in a primary? And then for Heller, this will be interesting to note of, does this vote actually save him like he tried to act as if it will, or does it just cause the Republican base not to show up for him on Election Day
yep.
in a midterm election where it's all about turnout?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is like Jordan said, the political consequence of
this is much... much more no votes than anyone expected. So that was a bad move by McConnell and the whip team to allow the vote because it looked like, I mean, it looked so
bad. We thought it was going to be within two.
Yeah, and that right, that it was within a couple votes.
We either win by two or lose by two.
Yeah, and then instead, you know, you've got seven Republicans voting against this.
Including people you didn't think were even an issue,
Lamar Alexander. In Tennessee, and then you add to that John McCain in Arizona. And I don't know, sometimes, Dan, once they know it's not going to pass, they just kind of say, okay, we're not whipping this anymore. So if you want to vote no, it doesn't matter. And I think for John McCain, it probably is not going to affect anything politically for him. Probably not Lamar Alexander either, even yep. though he's in a very red state. He's been a senator a long time. So
all right.
You add them to it, though. It's these were not just the most moderates.
Yeah. No, I know.
So that's, I think the president should be rightfully very angry with his Congress right now.
Well, with good reason. And lack of leadership there by Mitch McConnell. I hate to say it, but that's the case. I mean, we just call it like it is, and they'll be able to accuse us of being partisan, that's for sure. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls or some comments. What do you want to get,
Let's try Sydney one more time in Lafayette, Louisiana.
All right, Sydney, go ahead.
Are you there?
Hi, sorry for the mix-up.
No problem. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking the call again.
Sure.
I'm calling to find out, is there a way that we can get like an official accounting of who voted what way? Because
yes.
I'm telling you what, I'm so angry right now. If I find out that my representation voted against it, I'm starting a campaign now to be sure that they lose on their next voting.
Yeah, so we have the list of the seven no's.
Yeah, the seven no's, none from Louisiana. This is there. It's Susan Collins from Maine, Dean Heller from Nevada, John McCain from Arizona, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, Rob Portman from Ohio, Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska.
Yeah, so there it is. I mean, I'm not blaming the whole Republican Party,
by the way.
No,
not every senator.
But the leadership there
leadership
was an unbelievable failure of leadership.
Plus these seven.
Yeah. All right, Logan, you want to grab it's your call. Comment or call?
Let's see here.
Or both.
Dale said, any reason we should still be calling?
Yeah,
senators?
Good question. Any reason people should still be calling? I think the fair answer there, Than, is no.
Well, I think they should be calling the seven who voted
no. Yeah,
I think they should hear from
their
voters. Yeah, and I will say, just in full candor, they're going to be debating this for another 9 hours, and they might kick something to a conference committee, Jay, but I think you're right. As far as telling the truth to our listeners about what happened, yesterday was the vote that mattered, and those seven abandoned us.
Well, let me tell you this. We're going to be joined by Harry Hutchison, our director of policy and Andy Economo. We're going to lay out this skinny repeal thing, and we'll tell you there's not much to it. All right, I mean, it's a foot in the door, maybe. Chuck Schumer calls it a Trojan horse. I think he's overplaying the, you know, man, that's not fair to Trojan horses. I don't think. All right, we can grab another phone call before the break. And phone lines are open. We got a line open, which is shocking. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Ike in line 6 in White Plains, Maryland.
Hey, Ike.
God bless you, your crew, and all that you
Thanks.
Do, Jay. I thank you for all that you do.
Thanks.
My question is, do you think that the seven dissents are beholden to the Democratic Party in some way or another?
No, I think they decided that they were not, they were going to allow President Obama's singular achievement to stand because of their own political situations in Ohio and wherever they're from. Jordan can give you an analysis of that in a moment. But I'm going to say I think it was an act of cowardice. They all voted to vote for repeal in 2015. So, I mean, they have no excuse.
Yes, I mean, I'd say these are big government Republicans. They like the federal plans. They like the federal subsidies. And they hail from states where sometimes their citizens do too. Even citizens that consider themselves to be very conservative. Say in West Virginia, you do have a large block of folks who would say, don't touch that Medicaid, don't touch that Medicare.
Right.
And if that message gets across effectively, then Capito may be too afraid in her own state to take a vote like this once again. For John McCain, for Lamar Alexander, these are fairly insulated senators. Same with Susan Collins. Really, the only ones at issue you could look at competitively in the near future is Dean Heller in Nevada. He's always been more of a moderate. But the question will be this. I think this is the big question. These folks who we know are the moderates. Now, the push will be we want to keep our Senate majority for Republicans in 2020. And it's very difficult for Democrats to flip the Senate, though this may be making it easier. But people like Dean Heller, he's the really only Republican in trouble at all, like any real contested race
yep.
in 2020. Are the Republican donors out there going to rush to send his campaign money when he casts a vote like this? And I think he's made the calculation that if he doesn't get the national support, he's still going to be better off at
yeah.
home without
so
voting for
this. So it's an individual
this.
Political calculation
for
they
each
made.
One.
For each one. Different political calculus for each one. But as the Wall Street Journal said, Obamacare's GOP preservers. That's what
yeah.
it is. All right, we'll be back with more. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged. We're going to be joined by a couple of our policy experts, but phone lines are jamming up pretty quick here.
That's right. I don't have a whole lot to promote because you guys all want to talk. 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in. We'll take some of those during the break. Again, if you're wondering how that works, all you got to do is log on online, acljay.org, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Find Jay Sekulow. You'll see we're broadcasting live there right now. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Comments coming on Facebook and Periscope. Joined by our senior policy, our director of policy, Harry Hutchison, our senior counsel, Andy Economo. But an interesting comment came in during our, just now, actually, on our Facebook and Periscope feeds. And by the way, if you're on Facebook and Periscope, share it with your friends. We encourage you to do that now. But Logan, go ahead. What was a good question?
Yeah, Joyce said, what happens if Obamacare fails? We had another comment from Kim that said, what will happen when Obamacare implodes? So a lot of comments about
that. I think that the whole healthcare market is in complete jeopardy. And the American people are the ones paying for this problem. I mean, I think that's the reality, Jordan. Forget the politics. Don't put the politics in it. And I'll get Harry's and Danny's comment in a moment. But I mean, look, I think it is in jeopardy. I mean, Obamacare is not sustainable. We know that. Inaction by the Republicans is also not sustainable.
No, and the fear is that it becomes so unsustainable that there is basically an insurance market crash, the fall apart, where the premiums are expected to rise, as has been reported widely, in some places, 100% increases, 120% increases, 85% increases. People will not be able to afford it. Then Republicans are going to be put in a more difficult spot. Then they will then have to decide whether to bail Obamacare out. And this, I think, is the main goal of the Democrats in success here, is that ultimately Republicans will not be able to, going into a midterm election, allow people to suffer through this. They're not going to be able to get that message clearly out of letting the system crash, and they'll end up bailing out Obamacare for the Democrats.
Well, and Jordan, I think the president rightfully told the Republicans what he would do if they didn't do it. He said, if the insurance market fails, I'm not going to let the American people suffer with no options and exploding premiums. Right. I will work with both parties to find a solution to make it affordable. And Jordan, what choice does he have? If the Republicans won't repeal it, he has to do it.
So they're talking about the skinny repeal. That's what the media is calling it, or the Republicans are calling it. So I want to go to Harry Hutchison first. What is it exactly?
Skinny repeal essentially would repeal the individual mandate, the employer mandate, the medical device tax. That's basically it. Senator Chuck Schumer calls it a Trojan horse. Others have suggested that if this passes, Obamacare will indeed implode because it will accelerate the so-called death spiral.
Yeah.
So it is basically a bare bones repeal. Essentially, it gives the Republicans a fig leaf.
But does it substantively? I mean, the employer mandate and the individual mandate are not being enforced right now per an executive order, right? We know
precisely.
That. But again, it would take it off the books of this. But is there any sense that this would pass the House of Representatives?
Probably not.
Right.
Again, this is simply a fig leaf. So if you look at the history, for 7 or 8 years, the Republicans have said that they will repeal and replace Obamacare. They have passed law after law, of course, knowing that President Obama would pass it. So what we have today, Jay, this is my opinion, of course, is something that is outrageous. It's stunning, but it was entirely predictable. Last week, the Republicans decided to stab the American people in the back. 7 Republicans last week and this week have essentially voted to retain Obamacare.
I think the Wall Street Journal's editorial board's position is absolutely correct. And Obamacare's GOP preservers. That's what he called it. Andy, this was a failure of the GOP.
It was entirely a failure of the GOP. The Republicans have voted to preserve, protect, and defend Obamacare. And this is contrary to everything that we have been told that the Republicans were going to not do in all the elections that I have been following. for all these many years. They've had 7 years to come up with their plan. They've rejected the idea of repealing it. They rejected the idea of replacing it. They've now got some watered-down anorexic version known as skinny repeal, as Harry calls it, which is ridiculous. The Graham Cassidy approach that we've been talking about is probably not going to succeed.
Yeah.
It's got no traction. It keeps the taxes of Obamacare intact. And all the terrible things that we say are going to happen are going to have happened and are going to happen because of the failure of the will of the Republicans in the Senate. I think it is absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, so this is... I think what Andy just said is absolutely correct. And so you can call all these other things that they're proposing really don't mean a whole lot. I mean, let's be realistic. Let's go ahead and take a call. I've got a particular question I want to raise after
Let's go to Lori in Indianapolis, Indiana, online too.
Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for all you do.
Sure.
I have a quote that I want to share, and I have a question. I heard this quote today from a well-known Christian speaker, and the quote is, if we the people lie to the government, it's a felony, and if the politician lies to us, it's called politics.
Well, there you go. I don't think any comments needed on that. Go ahead with your question.
Well, we still have to pay the penalty, and what happens to people who have licenses when it gets so high that we can't pay the penalty? They take our license.
Well, look, the fact is, you have to still pay the penalty? Yeah, and that's not being enforced right now under the executive order. So it's the president has saved you from the penalty, not the Congress. The president saved you from the penalty. But Will Haynes just handed me, I guess, was this in the journal today?
Yes, sir.
So this is a listing of Lisa Murkowski's, all of the dates she gave where she spoke out against Obamacare. I mean, this is what's so absurd about this. But the president, by the executive order, saved you from the penalty.
Yeah, that's right. So long as he is president, he can keep you out from having to pay any penalties. For the mandate. So that's why this skinny repeal is basically we're already seeing that impact for the most part because the penalties are not being enforced right now. And none of this through reconciliation takes any of it off the books anyways.
Yeah. So Andy and Harry, really quickly, I don't know if we'll be able to grab another call, but Logan will set up for the next segment. We're right now, it's at ground zero. Nothing's happening.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was really, even if they get the skinny repeal, it's really meaningless.
You're absolutely correct. And in some respects, we are in a worse position. Because if you take a step back, Obamacare was designed to fail.
Yep.
Why? Because the fallback position of the Democrats was a single-payer system. And it's very possible that some of the positive steps contained in a skinny repeal without a replacement associated with it may indeed accelerate the implosion of Obamacare, which may mean that some Republicans down the road will support a single-payer system, which would be the ultimate triumph of Obama's approach.
Brought to you by the Republican Party. I mean, that'll be a headline if it's not already today. Go ahead, Andy.
That's exactly what has happened. The single-payer system is imminent because that's where we're headed, and the Republicans are going to ultimately have to vote to support it, which is all the things that they said that they're against. We're on the road to the British medicine with all the terrible and horrible things that British medicine brings with it in terms of care of the patients. Medicine, right, which you are an expert on, having been to Oxford on that subject. But, I mean, it is really the Republicans have failed the president. They have failed the country, and they have failed the Republican brand.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're here for another half hour. Logan, tell everybody how they can get engaged.
That's right. If you don't get the full hour of JSecu Live or you just want a different experience, you can find us broadcasting live online on social media and on ACLJ.org. So go to ACLJ.org, Facebook, just search for JSecu, go to the JSecu page. You'll see it's the latest post on Twitter at JSecu. Same thing, latest post. You'll see the Periscope feed there or directly on Periscope. Search for JSecu. If we lose you here, you need to get back to work or get back to doing whatever you need to do. You can find us archived later on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also a Roku channel in the Channel Store. If you have a Roku device, you can also subscribe to the JSecu Life podcast. But again, another half hour coming up right after this on JSecu Live. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and join us. Right back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Party saves Obamacare. Obamacare's GOP preservers is exactly what is said by the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. Here's what they also said. The best outcome of Wednesday's repeal vote would have been to send the bill to the Republican president who is willing and even desperate to sign it. But at least voters have clarity about which GOP senators are willing to ratify President Obama's achievements. I'm sure he's playing golf somewhere today, pretty happy that the Republicans saved Obamacare. And, Jordan, I don't think that's an overstatement. I think that's exactly correct here. That's exactly what has happened.
That is what has happened, is Republicans, by their inaction and by their defections within, and you could blame the seven, but you can also blame the Republican leaders in the Senate. The House ultimately was able to get it done. The Senate was not. So these seven Republicans have saved Obamacare indefinitely, really. I mean, because the big question will be, and listen, President Trump has said, I'm not going to, you know, let the American people suffer. So if Republicans can't get it done, I'm going to have to work across the aisle and figure out how to improve health care. That may be by keeping the Affordable Care Act in some shape or form. And so, again, this may be what leads to the next bailout of Obamacare and the insurance companies. But it's these seven Republicans you can blame. Susan Collins from Maine, Dean Heller from Nevada, John McCain from Arizona, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, Rob Portman from Ohio, Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, and Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. You put that group together, they are responsible for saving Obamacare indefinitely now.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. I think that would be good.
Yep.
Let's go to Carl first on line 5 in Delaware. You're on the air.
The great deceiver and liar told me I was able to keep my health care. And that was nothing but the lie. And I'm proposing, if they don't work this out, I'm going to cancel my health care. And I urge a lot of people in protest, cancel it and let it fall on its face.
Well, I think, look, I mean, there's a lot. You're not going to pay the penalty. People want health care insurance. You should be able to get health care insurance. But we're back at the standstill point. And this, I'm going to go to Jordan and Than on this really quickly here. The standstill point is the idea was this was going to be phase one, and when you have phase two and phase three, and we would have had competitions between state lines, we would have had real competition. That means we would have changed the minimum requirements so that people in their 20s don't have to buy a plan that would be more appropriate for people that are my age. All of that's out the window right now, and the skinny repeal is not going to do anything there.
No, it does not, and there would have to be massive electoral victories come 2018 for the Senate to be able to address this in full. You have to get this through the 60 vote threshold, or look at a rule change on that filibuster and remove it. But right now, why? If you can't get to 50, just 50, because you got the vice president who can cast the 51st vote. If you can't get to 50, then it's not really about that filibuster. Is not the burden. It's not the Democrats who are standing in the way. I want to make that clear. The Democrats weren't helpful. None of them across the aisle, of course. But they weren't the reason why this failed. Seven Republicans were, and ultimately, yeah. I don't see electorally Republicans losing the Senate this election cycle. I think that would be a pretty massive, and the Democrats seem a bit disorganized. At the same time, I don't see them gaining a lot of seats. Not enough where you would get through the filibuster.
Yeah, I want Than. What's kind of the attitude this today, the day after this? I mean, I know they're debating, but what's the attitude?
I think they're all trying to move on, Jay. I think they know that they've failed, that they've lost. Look, voters already sent 50 Republicans to Washington to repeal Obamacare, and they failed. So I think they're actually trying to move on to other issues now. To Jordan's point, they may not lose the Senate this time around, but I got to tell you, I think these seven are in trouble at some point down the line. And to be honest with you, they probably should be.
Yeah, well, disappointing is an understatement. All right, we are here. We're taking your calls and comments. Phone lines are jammed. We're going to try to get into a conversation. We may save it for the last segment. on, unless you want to go to it next, we'll see, on the situation. There's a tense situation with Iran, the U.S. Navy, and North Korea. And I want to talk about that some, too, because it's important. So we'll either do that this segment coming up or next. We'll decide during the break. Logan, let everybody know. Best way to get into us right now, I think, is comments on Facebook and Periscope.
That's right.
Phone lines are jammed for
radio
audience.
They are completely jammed. We'll get back to you soon. I'm sure some lines will open up. But, yeah, you can just comment right now on social media. We're going to take a lot of those comments. We have exclusive videos coming up in the break. If you're watching online, you're about to see something special they put together just for you. If you're not watching online, log on over. You get to watch an exclusive video made just for those watching on social media and at ACLJ.org.
All right, we'll be back with more of your comments. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign last few days here, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks. From Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando, Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
It's a busy news day. I want to change topics a little bit. We'll get back to healthcare in a moment. So if you're on the phones, hang in there. We'll get to you. But there is a troubling development in the with our United States Navy and Iran. And we'll get to North Korea, too. I brought in our senior military analyst, Wes Smith, Colonel Smith, who, of course, served in the United States Army with distinction for many decades. So, Colonel Smith, we've got a situation with Iran launching a satellite carrying a rocket into space. We also had the United States for the first time. At least we were able to, I'm glad that the military leaders were able to actually take some decisive action as they approached, I guess, a naval ship. Talk about that one first.
Right.
We sent out warning shots rather than having our Navy, men and women with their hands up in the air going right into an Iranian ship. As we were negotiating with the Iranians, that ship was taken by the Iranian Navy. This time, not exactly the same response.
Exactly. And this is actually, and this is a bit of a surprise for many people, but there have been 30 such incidents this year.
With the Iranians.
With the Iranian Navy harassing U.S. Navy vessels, you know, in the Middle East, Persian Gulf, and the Straits of Hormuz. This one, though, was the closest that the Iranian patrol boat came. It was armed, and it came within 150 yards.
So in Navy terms, that's a football field and a half.
Exactly.
Not much.
That is extremely close. And this all happened after the Navy tried to raise them on the radio. They fired flares. They blew their horn five times, which is an international signal to get out of the way. And they still kept coming. And when they got to 150 yards away from the USS Thunderbolt, they opened fire with their 50 caliber machine gun just in front of the boat. And, of course, they stopped.
But here's the question. This is the Iranians doing an intentional act, Jordan, of provocation. And this was a test of the president and his military. And this time, finally, we responded.
Yeah, that's right. And so instead of kind of letting it pass or even letting them get closer or potentially taking our troops hostage as they have done before, we took the first step in taking action, which is firing those warning shots and allowing those vessels that are out there to take those necessary steps and escalate if necessary. We can win every one of these incursions. And there's a risk posed here, not just by firing of weapons, but by these vessels, these fast boats, cutting off slower boats and then causing accidents, which could lead to deaths as well of U.S. sailors.
So this was a strong response by the United States Navy.
A strong response. But if it keeps happening, Jay, the potential for people getting hurt or killed is very, very great. These Iranian fast boats are equipped with anti-ship missiles, and so they don't even have to be close. But when they come within a football field and a half, you know, away from our vessels, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen.
All right, let's move to North Korea. And the reason we're talking about this, folks, is we're involved in all of these issues from a policy standpoint. Some of them, of course, are cases of ours. But these are policy issues where the ACLJ is engaged. Let's talk about North Korea. What's happening there?
Wow. You know, just yesterday, Jay, the Director of National Intelligence Office and the Defense Intelligence Agency released a revised timeline concerning North Korea's nuclear and ballistic missile program. They've been saying that probably 3 to 5 years they would have a reliable nuclear-capable ICBM. And this week, they changed that assessment, and they are thinking now that North Korea will have a reliable nuclear-tipped ICBM by the early part of next year.
What does that mean from an international standpoint?
That means that they will be able to hit the United States mainland and Alaska with a nuclear weapon that is reliable. And again, the DIA and Defense Director of National Intelligence are saying this is less than a year away.
So, Than, what is the sense right now, getting away from healthcare for a minute, because there are a lot of other issues we're facing as a country, what is the sense that you're picking up on the defense initiatives? The president talks about spending more money, getting the military armed the way they need to be. What is your sense of that?
There's actually a fair amount of chatter on the Hill on this, Jay, even in the midst of the healthcare debate. And I think the dramatic change that you heard Wes talk about is what everybody's noticing. I mean, in the past, these provocations, they've essentially been ignored, and so they have increased. And you know, I think it's also fair to say, as Wes pointed out, you don't want these things to take place because they are dangerous. But, Jay, when they happen, you have to have a commander-in-chief that is willing to respond, and this one clearly has. I think in the long term, they will certainly diminish as those responses continue. But the one thing that I think the Hill wants the American people to understand is there might be some bumpy moments as you do respond. But in the long term, you have no choice but to respond with strength. And now we have a president who will do so.
I want people to understand this. So when all this discussion, Jordan, is going on politically, whether it's, you know, the Russia probe, yeah, or it's the healthcare debate not happening, that the president of the United States has to handle a multitude of issues on a global scale.
Right. The world doesn't stop because of Obamacare voting in the U.S. Senate. The world doesn't stop because of a congressional committee hearing, which usually gets no attention whatsoever. The world doesn't stop because of congressmen making speeches. And those congressmen aren't the ones that have to deal with this. They play important roles. Obviously, they legislate. Mostly, it's about a budgetary role, both for Congress and the Senate, and in some cases to declare war that has not been used in the most recent history. So their role is really just to approve budgets. Then the president has to handle all of the problems around the world. And these are not just being the world's policeman problems. These are problems facing the United States directly, whether it is a North Korea with an intercontinental ballistic missile armed with a nuclear weapon that could hit the United States. So we're not talking about another country right. We're defending. About the U.S. or Iran not going after one of our allies' vessels, but one of our own vessels in a region that is very important to our economy.
Well, and the alarming thing, Jay, also, is that North Korea and Iran are cooperating with each other on this technology. There are places in Iran where the North Korean military has, you know, barracks set up and research facilities and vice versa. And Iran is working on its ICBM program as well. They are not near as far along as North Korea on the nuclear thing, but there is the danger that North Korea will begin to sell Iran the nuclear technology.
So I've always told you, you got to watch out for these unholy alliances that exist. Let's talk about Russia's attempt to diminish U.S. influence and U.S. forces in Europe generally. What's going on in the U.S. forces in Europe? And folks, this is what you need to understand. We're having to engage all of these issues on a policy basis all of the time. So we're writing about this, discussing about this. You're going to turn this into a post? Is this about to become a
yes,
post?
Yes, yeah, sir.
Okay.
Right.
So what is the situation with U.S. forces in Europe? You said there's some big movement there.
There is. Our NATO allies are very nervous about Russian aggression.
Yep. And they have a reason to be.
They have a reason to be. They look at Crimea. They look at Ukraine. They listen to the, to Russia's rhetoric. And so just recently, in the last few weeks, General Ben Hodges, who is the U.S. Armed Forces commander in Europe, has announced that due to President Trump's trip to Warsaw, they have changed the posture of our NATO forces, going from one of assurance, where our troops there assure the NATO allies that we will have their back, to a mission now of deterrence. And so there, just this week, there were 45,000 NATO allies engaged in a military exercise, practicing what they will do if and when Russia crosses one of the other nation's borders in an attempt to take over.
Yeah, and this is, by the way, these actions are taken as, when you have these kind of military exercises, these are also done as a deterrent device, Jordan. I mean, there's a message the president is sending to our allies, but also to those that are not our allies. And Russia right now, it's hard-pressed to say they're an ally.
It shows what we can do.
I don't think you can call them an ally.
What we have the capability of doing. And so it's you show that to your enemies. To some extent, you don't want to give away all your secrets and all of your plans, but the ones that you know kind of already exist are enough to kind of annihilate them already. So you remind them that we're ready to use those. And then for those countries that fall somewhere in between enemy and ally, you know, where on some issues we do ally on, others we disagree, it's also right to kind of remind them that they need to stay in line as much as possible, because we always have the option to take them out as well. I mean, we're unique in the country that way, that we can even flex muscle like that.
Yeah.
That's why, unlike most of the world, we don't have to have those parades showing all of our weapons off, because everybody knows we've got more weapons than we need to take out the entire world if necessary.
Our force projection is unmatched in the world.
Yeah. Let me go to Than on this, because we're going to go back to healthcare in a moment here. But Than, let's finish up this conversation on military. And I just made the statement that the president's got a lot of issues. He's got to engage in all of this. And this includes this. I mean, this is, you know, it's military, it's North Korea, it's Russia. How do you deal with them and flexing their muscles in the Middle East and in Europe? It's the situation with the Iranians. You got all of these hotspots going on, and then we got on the domestic politics on the same time. So the sense is, people need to understand, that's why I wanted to do this segment today. In the middle of all this, as we're hitting multi-topics, so is the administration having to do that.
Yeah, well, and it goes hand in glove with what Wes just talked about. One of the most important things that the president as commander-in-chief could do, Jay, is to make sure that the commanding officers in the field have the authority that they need to respond quickly in these situations. You don't always have time, as Wes can speak to go up the chain of command to get a decision. And he has delegated a lot of that authority. That is what enables the quick response. To be honest with you, in this issue that we're talking about in this segment, I think that's the most important thing that the commander-in-chief has done, is delegated more authority so that these responses can be much quicker.
So from a very quickly, we're at the end of the segment, Wes, that delegation has been a big plus here.
Than is exactly right. That has been the most significant thing that the president has done for the military, and that is to power down and allow his combatant commanders and his commanders in the field to make decisions.
All right, we're going to be back with more, including your comments and calls at 1-800-684-3110. Lines are jammed. We will do our last segment where we answer any question you have. We'll try to get to many of these calls. A lot of you folks have been holding. We'll get to as many as you can. We've had to hit multi-topics today, because that's what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign last few days for the month of July, ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. So we encourage you to do that at ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment. So hang in there. Tell your friends to watch. We encourage you to do it. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Last segment of the broadcast. People have been holding a long time. Logan, let's go right to it. We did want to bring in the military discussion because there are other news in the world happening besides healthcare, so we wanted to get to that. But we are going to now take, I suspect, a lot of healthcare calls. Let's go ahead and do it. We're going to do these rapid fire.
Let's go to Melinda, who's calling in Fort Myers, Florida, on line 4.
Hey, Melinda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. A couple things. One is thank you all for everything you do. Bless our military and our first responders.
Thank you.
I was going to find out, first, is there some kind of a number that we can all call to show that we're interested in possibly replacing McConnell? So a phone number like you were given.
Well, you know, I think, the Senate leadership decides who the Senate majority leader is going to be. And, I'm asking the same question that you're asking. I'll let Jordan, he responded to it earlier. The whip counting here, what happened?
Yeah, well, it was a failure. Probably need a full change in the Republican leadership. That ultimately, though, is up to Republicans. It's Republican elected senators. They choose their leader. So we do have a say in that, in the sense that we elect our senators, but they're so staggered that really in the next election cycle, Than, it is the Democrats who have tougher races. There's really, as of right now, maybe this will change because of this vote, by the way. But as of right now, in the last 24 hours, it was really only Heller, Nevada, that was considered a real contested race for Republicans. The rest were Democrats just trying to hang on, right, Dan?
Yeah, maybe Jeff Flake too, Jordan. But I would just say I think this makes it harder for Republicans running in other states that Democrat seats hold to say, hey, listen, send us to Washington because we're going to do your will. Well, that's what they did the last cycle. They sent 52 of them to Washington, and then they reversed course and didn't accomplish what the voters said they were going to do.
All right, let's go ahead. Take another call or a comment, Logan, whatever you want to do.
Yep, let's go to JJ in Orlando, Florida. You're on the air.
Hi, JJ, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say these guys are overpaid, phony hypocrites that voted the way they did, and I wonder how the American people can move to insist or demand that they have to live under the same laws they pass for the rest of us to live.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting for someone like a Lamar Alexander in a red state of Tennessee. Now, I don't know if most people in Tennessee would even recognize him if he came walking down the street, honestly. And he's been a senator for a long time, an elected official. But I just don't know. He's not on television that much. He's not that high profile of a senator. He's an influence broker, if you will, a power broker, but very quiet. Because of that, does he ever feel the ramifications? Is he going to run for re-election when he's up? He's an older senator, so he might not. And so does he feel the ramifications in such a red state? But And the others as well, like John McCain, I think already, again, he does this whole thing flying back across the country after this horrible diagnosis and cast that important vote for the motion to proceed. But for what purpose? Why proceed? I mean, I honestly think, then, why proceed at this point? Why didn't they just go into the August recess with a better whip count like they said they would, instead of going on a motion to proceed when they knew they couldn't get the votes?
Because they didn't want Obamacare repealed. Yeah. Go ahead, Than.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe they were hoping that the American people thought proceeding to the debate would be enough and that maybe all of them could vote for one repeal or another and not get it enacted and then use that as political cover. Jay, I think our listeners, I think the American people are smarter than that.
I know they are. They know what happened here.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Paul in Portland, Oregon on line 3.
Hey, Paul, go ahead.
Hey, my comment is that those 7 Republican defectors, they should come up with the amendments that will bring a no vote to a yes vote.
Yeah, they're not going to do it. It's done. I mean, there's still amendments going on, but it's not going to happen. I'm just giving the reality check. Appreciate the comment, but it's not the way it's going to be. the seven Republicans allowed Obamacare to stay in place. This is exactly what the Wall Street Journal said. They preserved Obamacare. That's what it is. Republicans preserved Obamacare. Seven Republicans preserved Obamacare. Logan?
All right, continuing on.
You must have a lot of comments coming in.
Let's go to what we do, but let's get some more calls. Let's go to Buren, who's calling in Los Angeles, California.
Hey, Buren.
Hi, thank you, Jay. Yep. Since our Republican representatives in Congress, their word is proven to be absolutely worthless, is it time for conservatives to start considering a third party, such as the American Independent Party?
Here's the problem with third parties. We haven't had a third party elected to the presidency since in our lifetime. It hasn't happened. I mean, the last time was what? Was Theodore Roosevelt, maybe? It was Bull Moose Party. I mean, so it's not reality. And there's a few independent members of the United States Congress, but not many. So I think this is a problem from within, and I mean, complete failure to lead. We talked about that on the broadcast. It was a complete failure to lead, Jordan. That's what it really was.
Yes, it's a leadership failure. I don't know. I mean, the third party issue for, you know, there are a couple that have worked on the Democrat side. They've run as independents, Bernie Sanders and Angus King. But then they caucus. So, I mean, it's potential. It's a way to go at more at the state level.
Yep.
Like if you've got some kind of entrenched moderate Republican, it may work out in a smaller state, smaller population. Yep. If you notice where they're from, Maine and Vermont, these are states where you can kind of pull this as an independent. And it gets tougher in the big states where you really need an apparatus with the millions of dollars behind you. So, yeah, small states, you could do these independent runs and then still caucus with the Republican Party, so you have influence.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. So those are, look, it's a free country. You
Democrats
get to vote any way you want.
The left's done it effectively a couple times.
All right, Logan, comment or call?
I get a comment. Mary says, is it possible that these senators are being paid off?
No. They voted this way for their own, whatever reason they had, they voted this way. But they remember, these same senators, except for Susan Collins, she consistently voted against repeal. So, I mean, I don't agree with
their
position.
You can't help with people asking that, though.
I know people are asking it.
Not
but
saying
these,
anything.
Because six of these people voted no in the 2015 language, in the exact same language they voted yes in 2015, and now they voted no. So there's no explanation that other than they knew that vote did not count. That's all that was about.
All right, let's go to Denise in Long Beach, California, line two.
Hey, Denise, go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for informing us all.
Yep.
I think McConnell is very dishonest and corrupt. I don't think it's no coincidence that of the seven Republicans that voted against the repeal, only one is up for re-election. They all got together. I think this was
Look, this is Jordan's theory of by the time they're up for re-election, nobody's going to remember. Then we'll go to Than on that too.
Yeah, that this will not be the driving issue either. The president's hand will be forced into improving this and working across party aisle, but the idea of Obamacare repeal just won't be the issue years from now, and that still people will not want to put in their place a liberal Democrat in the Bernie Sanders style.
Right.
So that they're safe as these moderates. I think that's their calculation. I don't know if it's right, but that's their calculation.
Yeah, Than, what do you think?
It goes to what the last caller said, Joe. Jay, voters have to have long memories, and I would just say this. This had the votes in January. Should have gone on the floor of the United States Senate in January. It would have passed.
Thought you confused me there with Joe Scarborough for a moment.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
All right, last call. Let's go to Nancy in Ventura, California. You're on the air.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, you were talking about the single-payer plan that Obama really hopes to end up with. I want the American people to understand. I read an article talking about this, and if this comes to play, this is going to put us in a position like the whole Charlie Gard thing in the UK. It's going to come to the point to where we're voting people into office who are going to decide whether or not our babies
well,
get to
this
live,
is, look, the Charlie Gard situation, what a tragic situation. The U.S. doctor finally was allowed to come over. By the time he got there, he said it was too late in the baby's health to be able to do anything. But, yes, that's the U.K. system as a single
legal
payer.
Fight over hospice care versus being able to end your life at home, you know, go through that process at home, which we allow people to make that choice in the United States.
But they don't there.
But not there. The judge makes the decision.
Yeah. So there you have it.
It's cheaper for the government to keep you at a hospice than it is to provide that care at home.
And that's the tragic situation with the Gard family. Pray for them. A lot of valiant efforts in trying, but it unfortunately came out the way it did. All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We are probably going to tape for Facebook and Periscope. Let you know I'm going to tape a policy program a little later this afternoon. So we'll put that up on the ACLJ's Facebook page. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org and a lot of ways to stay engaged.
That's right. You continue to watch us, like you say, we'll be broadcasting later on, not on the Jay Sekulow page. This time, make sure you go like the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, on Facebook. So we'll be broadcasting live there later today. And also, you can find everything you need on ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.